222.
I believe the batteries are dead, Eric.
Rodney, it doesn't come on. No, now it is. Okay.
Yeah, I turned it off just for a second.
Okay, good morning. Technology. Well, it's been a very good morning to be here, to have been here. I was thinking of a song that I suppose my bosses know at Pittsburgh in the office from hearing me sing in the truck. I don't know how much they listen to me, but I have this suspicion that they do with this camera and things that's in my truck. But I'm sure they've heard parts of this, if not all of it. But if you would look at your Zion's Praises to 575, I thought it fits in here with our discussion here this morning and some of the things that this writer was going through. I want to assure each one as we go through this time of uncertainties and different things or changes for our lives and our what we would call what we have been used to as ordinary or normal, and things have changed. Well, those type of things have been in the Christian community since forever, and so we're not in a new day. It might be a change for us, but the writer here, and I'm not familiar with this writer on Christ the Solid Rock I Stand, he talks about a hope that is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so when I think of the next phrase, that I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, that means I dare not trust in myself. It's really what he's saying. The trust that this person was inspired to write or was given to write was in the hope of in Jesus Christ, blood of Christ. I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his loving face, and we don't have necessary darkness, but we have doubts and things like that. When that veils Jesus' shining face, when you see his perfect, lovely face, which we can still see through these times, it's important, I think, that we take notice that other people in other ages have done this, have went through these things, and were faithful. It does test us, it does strain us, it does squeeze us. And what is it going to do to us as individuals, then as the congregation? Will it separate us and divide us? Because there's different opinions. I rest on his unchanging grace. Mel talked about grace on Wednesday night. Unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. And those first phrases, we don't really talk about his oath and his covenant, but that whole phrase of thought is that the surety of Christ or the promises are still there forever. And his oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around me and my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. And so I hope as we go through this that we can keep our hope on Christ, the solid rock. Like I said, we were together here for a Sunday school lesson that was very interesting. And I knew about the Sunday school lesson and the title when I looked at this sermon here. I just thought, I didn't have thoughts that it would fit together. I should have, I guess, but I didn't really plan on it that this would be this type of a sermon that fits with the calling of leadership. And that, well, I think, was the title of our lesson. And so, for the congregation here, we're obviously in that mode again of discussing this as a ministerial team to call leadership again. My goal would be to call leadership in the spring. We don't have dates set or your council approved or anything like that, but that's kind of the beginnings of it. And so we are looking for another minister. And I was thinking of our Sunday school lesson as I looked at that title. Well, I guess that fits pretty good here for our needs and so forth. And then the way Franklin brought it out as not knowing what the needs are of the congregation necessarily, but I don't want to call him an outsider, but not as much of an insider as some of us. And so there was a very much of a blessing for me to sit in that Sunday school class and to realize the way God works together. So if you want to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, the very first chapter only has 10 verses. I'm not planning to keep you long here, but I do believe that we have a letter here, this 1 Thessalonians, that is written. And you could title the whole letter, not just this first chapter, but the whole letter as a description of a model church. And you've heard me say that phrase before, but what comes to our mind when we think of a model church? And what are we going to glean from this, these 10 verses? But I would like to challenge us and to have us leave with the thought. We all know this, but with the thought that the church, when we're talking about a model church, or we're talking about the ongoing work of the church, or the church of Christ, or whatever term or way that comes up in our conversation, we're not talking about Keystone Mennonite Fellowship. We're not talking about Bradford Mennonite Fellowship. Well, in a sense, we are. But we're talking about the people that make up the church. And so when we profess Christ and submit our will to Him and trust and believe and obey Him, we are part of that church, not just part of Bradford Mennonite Church. And so when I close here, I hope we can realize that as individuals, we make up the church. And so when you look at this, and I use the phrase a model church here in Thessalonica, I would ask you a question. Do we have a model church here? Is Bradford Mennonite Church? Well, we wrote some of that stuff down. That was good. Is this a model church? And so I was thinking as I was meditating on that thought, you know, we have something that looks like the a model is something that looks like the original or like that's perfect in condition and so forth. And so how do we answer that question? And again, it's not really talking about the title of the name of the building here is called Bradford Mennonite Church. When we talk about a model church, what is a model church? Then that must mean, has something to do with how do we answer the question on how close I'm walking with God, or what for model am I as a Christian? What is that? What does that look like? And so I think in the passage here, we can glean a lot of things that point out as a model church. And then the second chapter, and on it goes in the first book of Thessalonians. But then I asked myself the question, well, what about this group here at Bradford Mennonite Church? And, you know, we We had done a survey in 1990 for people that would be interested from the faith congregation in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We've done a survey in that group that asked if some people would be interested in moving to another location away from the county and a little bit more in the outlying area somewhere and help with the work of a new church. And so some of us here have were the original ones, and some of you have joined. And that's the way we would like to continue it. Well, in one hand, my thoughts went to those original ones are going to get older after a while. And so that when we talk about leadership and going on from here, it's probably not the next leader is probably not going to be in his 50s or 60s. And so what does this model look like in your mind? When you think about being a Christian, and not just the leadership, but even just as an individual, what does that look like? What for picture comes to our mind? And so when we were asked to come here then, we basically did church in these 7, 8 years. We did church the best we could and what we felt the leading of the Lord, and changes came and went, and things look different now than they did in the beginning and so forth. We had all kinds of changes take place. We had ups and downs in those 29 years. And yet there's something about it, and I want to emphasize the church is the group here. As individuals, it makes up a group of believers, which we talked a little bit about that in Sunday school with the body. That whole idea of people coming to help continue the work is, of course, a great blessing. It's no longer four families here. And you can't leave, but we were excited over the years as people came and made their church home here. And so as those changes, when people come, are we still going to be able to be a model church? And I'm not saying we were in the beginning necessarily or all through the years, but there's something about the work of the church here in Bradford that I think we should take a little pride in. And I don't think that's saying that wrongly. But I think Glennie and Kevin now, and I don't know if Dalton did, but I did funerals in this community that we don't announce those things to you. We just do them. A lot of times it's three people there at the service like it was this week for Kevin, or however many people. And, you know, there's things of contacts that have been made that I think is part of a model church. And so my encouragement or my concern is that the freshness of new leaders and new ideas from the next generation would maintain the idea of having a model church. And, you know, it's not like I'm going to read here that we are necessarily sounding out the gospel, and everywhere that it's heard, they know where it comes from us. It's not that setting, but we should take some credit for the people that you minister to and you meet through the daily years and years of work. So we are here, you're thinking it's 29 years.
21 will be 30 years.
Yeah, 92 was our first service technically. But when we moved here, it would have been, yes. Anyway, nevertheless, that part doesn't matter too much. But let's continue to be a model church. Okay, so here's the question. I asked you, would you say that Bradford Mennonite Church is a model church? And so I don't need you to answer that. It kind of sounds prideful and, you know, look what I did and all that stuff in these 30 years or whatever. It's not that at all. But if your answer is, yes, I think this is a model church. And my encouragement to you then is to continue. Very technical answer. There's something about being close to Christ and being interested in the neighbors that you have, whether it's meals or words of encouragement or challenging spiritual, that's going to keep this as a model church. And I think, with the help of God, ever since we came here, it can be accomplished. I think it can be looked at history as a model church. So if your answer is yes, my comment is let's continue. If your answer is no, then I think you personally need to ask yourself, what can I do about it? I know we don't run our own church individually here. We do it as a group, but I think you know what I mean. The spiritual vitality of the individual person makes up the church. And we're going to reach out to this community one way or another. And that's not the only work of this church. We have lots of children that we have taken in as members and have baptized as believers in Christ and are going on with the work wherever they are called. And that's also a great part of this work. And so let's continue that. If your answer is no, seriously consider what this Thessalonica church looked like. Let's read these 10 verses. Paul, Silvanus, that's Silas, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. So that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What we have here is leadership is mentioned, first of all, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. It's a church that he is saying is in God the Father and in Lord Jesus Christ. And so we establish and have established that, and I think it's something that's in our hearts, in our concern, in our speech when I talk to you, that we're talking about a work and a church that goes on in this community that's grounded and based on Jesus Christ. Or it's in God. It's not a man's thing. It's not a person saying, it's not a Glenn Weaver church or a Kevin Groff church. It's not that way. Our discussions are headed the right direction, or have been, and I would encourage us to continue the idea that this is a work in God. And it's getting the work done. Sometimes I stop and think how the Bible explains one day with God is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years that's one day. Like time isn't a thing with God like it is with us. And so Sometimes we get to talking our humanness, we get frustrated on our success. And so then my mind goes back to those verses. Well, God is looking at this day on Sunday that we have today as 1,000 years. You know, we can get some discussion on that, which there's no end to that. That's not necessary to discuss that, actually. But it gives us the thought that we should continue the work and not just be frustrated at our measurement of time. The Bible also tells very plainly that one soul is worth all the money we ever put in here. That's Bible. And the word that we say to one person, and he comes to Christ, that's hard for us to imagine because we are money, we are measure things, and we got all things all figured out. We got profits and loss margins and columns and printouts and all that. And we have this timetable that we think that something needs to be accomplished. And I think we should be wise with our time. Yeah, I think you know what I mean. Let's not get frustrated. This is a work of God. And this work here in Thessalonica is pointed out that way, is introduced that way, and I would like to say to you all, that's how I believe this is here also. We're talking about working for Christ here when our discussions are and our concerns are going that direction in just our normal discussions. So it's a work in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he offers this or prays this prayer or blessing upon them in the beginning here. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. So the leadership there is praying for these people. But the prayer is what I'd like for us to notice here this morning. When I look at these words here in verse 3, he says the prayer is that they're remembering without ceasing. In other words, a continual prayer is this, that your work of faith is there, the labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you go to 1 Corinthians, you have that same phrase, you know, basically the same phrase. It's work of faith or our works and the labor of love and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So my encouragement to us as we think of continuing a model church is the fact that we have in the past and we want to consider this in the future. This is where we're going, that we continue the work of faith. It's a work that's stirred by faith. It's something we're motivated by. We want other people to experience this. And Aaron shared about the emptiness of Halloween and how much their hearts and those people's lives must be terribly empty. There's nothing there except a skeleton, and that's not much hope in that. And so our work is a work of faith. It's a labor of love, and it's stirred by this love we have, not just for each other, but for those around us. And let's continue that. It's a encouragement here that this is their prayer. And also the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Some of that has to do with the last verse. If you look at the last verse, you think about the hope that they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope is here in verse 10. These people's hope, it says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And so the hope is in the Lord Jesus. They're looking for that day when he returns. And it's a motivation because he's going to come and receive his church to himself. And so that's the prayer that they had, Paul, Silas, and Timothy had for these people. And that's not so much the prayer to notice as the fact that what the prayer was. This is the active model church that we're talking about. It's a church that's going to accomplish those things. Then he says, our gospel came not in word only, but also, that's verse 5, not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord. And again, as we pause there, there's people in our group here that are totally concerned about following the Lord. And it's not something that it's that great a phrase that we want to follow the Lord. But it's a sincerity. It's a work that's going on in people's hearts in this congregation that's going to make this a model church. And I would hope that would continue. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost. In other words, there was persecution there. We kind of know some of the history as we read the rest of the books, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. There was much affliction there. And is this affliction that we're talking about this morning, is this part of a beginning of afflictions? You know, there's lots of people that believe that we've had a very calm history of almost 100 years here. That was no persecution, or some people say over 100 years. And, you know, is this going to change? Is this the changer? Where we are actually talking about having to make decisions of having church or not church or gathering and so forth. Is that going to continue to turn it tighter on our... Well, these people were experiencing that, and that, I believe, had some effect on them. And we need to prepare for that. If that's what God calls this land and this congregation to, we need to continue to serve Him and have that same zeal, not allow things to divide us, but have the same zeal as before when the hard times come. I think when you look at Jesus and His life, He basically had a life of hard times. And so, don't think yourself that special, myself that special, that I might not endure some of that also. So when it goes here, the words that I would like to close with here this morning is verse 8 and 9. It says, "For when you sounded out the word of the Lord," that phrase "sounded out" is a sound of a trumpet. It's the phrase that's when you read in Revelation when you have trumpet sounds. And this word that they lived and this word that they preached and taught in this model church was sounded out like a trumpet, where people could hear all over, and it reached from Macedonia and Achaia, but it also reached every time this faith of these people was talked about. And so let's remember that these people were normal people, a normal congregation. They probably had a little different experience because of persecution. But that word sounded out, and they were talked about. This is the church that was to be followed. And it was a model church that I think we can pattern ourselves after. And it's not so much that I'm here impressing the idea that we're going to drum up some program of doing church and the way we do life and everything that's going to be perfect that people would follow. But there's the emphasis is on the following Christ, and we will be a model church. Not because of who we are, what we've done. We follow Christ. It says that in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. And so Paul's actually saying when he goes to different places and the name Thessalonica comes up, he don't even really need to explain too much. It's already there. The news of these people is already there. He don't need to say much. And so when we look at this as a church group, remember the challenge I want to leave with you is that we're made up of individuals. If you're not happy with your model church here this morning, then what can you do about it? And I think there's always room for improvement in every situation. But this group here was something to pattern their lives after. And we don't have that much detail on what they did that it was that special, except that they had a work of faith and a labor of love and a hope in the return of Jesus Christ. And that motivated them to be something special for God. Are you and I something special as we leave here this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this portion of Scripture. We pray as we ponder on this that you would just give us encouragement and determination to follow you closer and be obedient to what you are asking of us. We pray that as we each individual look into our hearts that we could process this and realize that you have something for each one to do in a special way, that we would become the model people that you want. Just bless our congregation here and our work as it goes on. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a song of this side.